Well, welcome back to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour. We're here with Cindy Boner and her beautiful harp. My gosh, that's a gorgeous harp. You've got, looks like some Celtic symbol down here and a tree with the roots. We were talking about trees and roots and veins, and the principles of water are all right there on your...
It is. Yeah, you got the Celtic knock and you've got the tree of life. And yeah.
Oh. Well, Cindy... you were telling a story about the very beginnings of your attraction to music that fascinated me. And can you recount that? Because it was such a great story.
Sure. My first memory of music is when my grandma, I grew up in Virginia in a very small, lightly populated area. And there's a small town there called Callio. And my grandma had taken me there, and I was quite young, maybe five, to see a parade. And I had no idea what a parade was. And grandma's trying to explain to me that, you know, there's things that come and you look at it, and I'm really confused. And then we get there, and I'm standing, and I'm watching. There's these cars, and there's these big floats, and I'm like, oh, okay. But then I heard this sound, and the first thing I can recall hearing is this thumping. And it just was very exciting. I was like, oh, what is this? What is this? And then I could hear the trumpets, and it was this, the band was coming. And it was just this remarkable, beautiful sound I had never heard before. And I said, it just kind of filled me up, and I knew that I wanted more of it. And as the band passed, I took off after them, and grandma had to grab me back. But I just wanted to follow it. It was so fascinating to me. I couldn't hold the excitement back, I guess.
That's such a beautiful story. Yeah, I just love the way, and children so often have a natural attraction to that which they love, you know, and they just intuitively go toward it. So that's it. That's why I love that. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the piece you're going to play for us.
Okay,
today.
Well, actually, I'm going to play an arrangement that I did. I love arranging traditional tunes.
Yeah.
This tune took me a very long time to arrange because I was actually afraid to try it because I love the tune so much.
Okay.
It's very dear to me. It reminds me of my home in Virginia. It's O Shenandoah. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
But it's such a lovely tune. And I did a little bit of... I don't know, maybe a fantasy on it or whatever. I mean, you'll recognize it for sure, but I didn't just stick to the tune.
Aren't songs wonderful?
They touch something so deep in you, or at least they do me.
So give us some Shenandoah.
Sure. Thank you.
How lovely. Just beautiful. Thank you so much, Cindy. I really appreciate it.
George, that one's got a river in it, too.
It does.
Yeah. Another river. Seems to be a theme today. Well, let's see if we can somehow, maybe we'll keep the theme going because we're going to talk to Cindy Davis, our resident PhD and also from Notre Dame. Now, that's a school somewhat close to here, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. Not too far from us. On a different river, as mentioned.
2,000 miles away.
St. John. Okay. So you're going to do a poem by Kabir.
Yes, I am.
And he was a
15th century Sufi poet. The Sufis were ecstatic, mystical Muslims.
Yeah.
But he was from India.
Right, also influenced by Hinduism, too.
He was sort of between the two.
Kind of got himself into some trouble that way, I think.
Big trouble.
Yeah.
We always get in trouble with religion, don't we?
Oh, especially when we build bridges. Whenever there's somebody who wants to build bridges between religious traditions, all of a sudden.
You just got to watch out for that one. Yeah.
But we all bleed red, don't we?
We all bleed. So, exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so why don't you read this poem for
us?
Well,
I noticed, actually, I think I sent this message over to John Baylor mentally that we were talking about rivers today. I'm sure I sent it to you, John, mentally, you know. Anyway, I'm going to add rivers in here because I just want to do it. So
just
when you
do
hear
it.
Rivers,
I think Kabir would approve. Okay. Yeah. I don't know, maybe perhaps we'll receive a sign.
We will have a sign.
And Cindy's going to accompany you. Right?
Thank you. All right, here we go. Consciousness is awakening for Kabir and other Sufis. Okay. Between the conscious and the unconscious, the mind has put up a swing. All earth creatures, even the supernovas, sway between these two trees. And it never winds down. Angels, animals, humans, insects by the million, also the wheeling sun and moon. Ages go by, and it goes on like a river. Everything is swinging. Heaven, earth, water, fire, and the secret one slowly growing a body. Kabir saw that for 15 seconds, and it made him a servant for life.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful poem. And, I'm inspired by Kabir, and I think about the transcendentalists, the American transcendentalists, who were influenced by so much of this. You know, they were influenced by Tagore and the stuff that he was doing and all kinds of interesting translations from the East. And they were beginning to integrate that into their literature and their ideas and that sense of finding unity in nature and in also in our own natures. And here we're talking about the unconscious and the conscious. So many years ago, I penned a poem that was sort of I was reading a person like Charles Olson, who wrote a thing on projective verse. He wrote kind of a statement on that. Ezra Pound wrote a statement on poetry. And Marcel Duchamp wrote the Surrealist Manifesto. And I'd read all those, and I thought, I want to say something about the poem, in a way that is clearly in line with, I think, how the transcendentalists might think. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. The poem is an event complex of being. Being is risking. The poem is the name we use to describe the edge. It is on rushing. It crushes all forms. It eats systems and builds bridges and destroys evil. The earth is one center, the universe another. The poem is a seed from which we spring our consciousness into cosmos. The poem is the flower, is the nerve extending. The poem is not words on a page. The poem is a vibration of freedom, a new breath, an intake of the soul, a twist of space out of time. The poem is an event complex of being. The poem is a wave, the electrical impulse of our living. The poem is a floating construct. Its truth lies in flux. The poem serves as a transportational device whose end is never known. The poem is an extension of dimension. The poem is the metasphere. The poem is om. The poem is the dance of the dervish, the beat of an insect heart. The poem is not being. Being is where we start. The poem is before and after that. The poem is the long yawning story of my neighbor or the dance of the Chippewa. The poem takes no form that can be described. The poem starts its voice inside of all of us as a mirror. If we're lucky, the glass shatters. The poem does not know time, nor have they ever been introduced. At times, I am the poem. I am the poem for you, if you want me to. You be the poem then too, won't you? Well, coming up next, we'll be back with more Zach Dubois, excuse me, singer, songwriter, and medical student from Elkhart, Indiana.
With support from Judith Robert and Tom Kepizinskis, Marshall County Community Foundation, Marshall County Tourism, and the Friends of the Wild Rose Moon, you're listening to the Wild Rose Moon Radio Hour.